Well, for those that are here for the first time, you were probably expecting maybe Pastor Larry, and it is an honor to be here while Larry cures. Hopefully, every week he's getting a little bit better, and in the next couple of weeks, Larry should be back. I didn't have the opportunity to talk to him this weekend, but Wayne mentioned that talked to him yesterday, and he was feeling better. The last time I talked to him, he was much more upbeat than the previous time, so it seems incrementally every day Larry's getting a little bit better. But keep him in his prayers, your prayers, and everyone else that we mentioned today as well. As I was coming into church this morning, a couple of things caught my attention. One was Earl and Roger caught me, and they said, "Oh, you're preaching today." And then Earl said to Roger, "Remember to tell him I'm leaving early." And I don't know if he was kidding or serious, but we'll find out here shortly. But the other thing, as I watched the kids pay such special attention to Sandy's message, it reminded me a little bit of a story of a young man in Sunday school. And they were teaching about Adam and Eve and how they took the rib from Adam and created Eve. And it just intrigued him. And a few months later, his mom noticed that he was laying in bed, and he just had an upset stomach, and his ribs hurt, and she went in to ask him how he was doing, and he said, "Mom, I think I'm having a wife." So Sandy, sometimes they listen, but they take a totally different message away. So I'm not sure what message you'll get from my message today, but I wanted to talk about the concept of honor. And as we sang this morning, it just tied in with the Man of Sorrows, but it also tied in to an experience that I had this week, and I thought I would tie that into the message today. And I thought, what is the definition of honor? And I looked it up, and on the internet you can get all kinds of sources, and I just used the Merriam-Webster first definition that came up. And it said, honor is the respect that is given to someone who is admired. And it tied in perfectly to the events of this past Tuesday when I had the opportunity to go on an honor flight with my dad. I'm not sure how many are familiar with honor flight, but as we took off on Tuesday morning from Greater Cincinnati Airport, it was a long day and an early morning. I called Dad. He set the alarm for 4 a.m. We had to be at the airport at 5:30 a.m. He said, "Well, Jim, please call me because I don't know if I'm going to be able to get awake." But he was already up and at him at 4 a.m. when we called. But what an unbelievable send-off of honor. It started years ago, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But as you can see from the photos, when we pushed out from the gate and made our way off the tarmac onto the runways, the fire trucks gave us I'm not sure what they call it, but the arc of water that the plane went through, and everyone saluted, and we had a rousing send-off when the plane left that morning. And then the honor continued when we arrived in Washington, D.C. and loaded up. There were 150 people, 70 veterans, and 70 guardians assigned to them. The veterans were all in yellow T-shirts, and the guardians were there in blue T-shirts. And we went to Iwo Jima, we went to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and the Changing of the Guard and Laying of the Wreath. We then made our way to the World War II Memorial, where they paused for a moment to get a group shot of all of the veterans from the greater Cincinnati area, which included not only Cincinnati, but northern Kentucky and southeastern Indiana. We then went to the Vietnam Memorial, where we had a picture taken, Dad and I, and then we made our way. My father is a veteran of the Korean War, and we made our way to the Korean War Memorial. But what was interesting along the way, and I was just in the shadows of an observer of all this honor, and what was really struck me as we made our way around Washington, D.C., the number of people that would stop and say something to the veterans. Now, a lot of school kids are there for spring break. We hit the time when there's a lot of schools visiting Washington, D.C. And some of the children would come up and say, "Thank you for your service," and they would engage the veterans in conversation. Others would go up and, "Thank you for your service," and turn around just very nervously. Obviously, their teacher said, "Go say something to the veterans." But it was also interesting to see the number of adults who were just walking, whether they were there at lunch, whether they were there visiting Washington, D.C., that also took a moment to say thank you for your service and to honor what they had given for their country. And it really changed how I look at doing the same thing in the future for people that I respect and admire and honor. And I thought, you know what, it's not an inconvenience. So often I think I'm intruding on their personal life if I would come up to someone and say, thank you for your service, whatever that service might be. But I can tell you, watching the veterans and watching the honor that was bestowed upon them, it was unbelievable. It was, I told Wayne before, I said, we went with great expectations, or I went with great expectations on what I would observe and what I would see. And everyone said, Jim, it'll be an unbelievable experience. It was surpassed that by 10 times. That's hard to do. When you go to a show or a movie or a play that everybody talks up and the expectations are so high, you think when you get there, it's just, oh, it was good, but boy, the expectations were built up. Well, this wasn't. This concept of honor was just unbelievable. And it continued on the way back. When we arrived at Reagan, in Reagan National Airport, I forgot to mention, they had a chorus playing, they had all kinds of people there. And then on the way back, we stayed all day and we got back to Reagan National Airport to make our way back to Cincinnati at about 9 o'clock. And this is Dad at 9 o'clock. I think he's usually in bed at 9. But he could tip his hat to the band that was playing in the background. And then the honor continued when we arrived back at Greater Cincinnati Airport at about 11 p.m., remembering that all these veterans probably got up at 4 a.m., all in, mostly in their 80s and 90s. And it was a huge turnout. I thought it was thousands. It was just unbelievable. It was hundreds, but it sure seemed like thousands of people came out from all walks of life, all ages, all backgrounds, from Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, organizations, you could tell from their t-shirts or their signs, family members, individuals, all to say thank you and to honor the individuals. And I thought, wow, how powerful. And then I saw this quote as I prepared my message today. Be not ashamed of thy virtue, honor's good to wear at all times. And I thought, wow. What if we did that every single day? How different life would be. Because life is so short. Those opportunities to say thank you are so short. And I'm reminded of a story of Billy Graham. He wrote in a book I picked up called Wisdom for Each Day. He was doing a presentation at a university. This was probably 8, 10, 12 years ago. And one of the students in a question and answer session after he completed stood up and said, Pastor Graham, what has been the biggest surprise in all of your life? And without hesitation, he said, the brevity of life. How short life actually is. And then he continued, it's true, life is short, and the older you get, the more you realize it. Events that happened 30 years ago seem like they took place just yesterday. But when your mind turns to the future, you realize just how short life is. None of us knows how much more time we have, but even if God gives us a long life by most standards, our time is still brief. In the psalmist's words, each man's life is but a breath. And he continues, don't waste your life on things that have no eternal value. Draw closer to Christ and make each day count for him. See each day as a gift from his hand and use it for his glory. The Bible says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And I thought that's what it was all about. People taking a moment out of their time to honor individuals. And then I thought, well, I wonder, do we do that same thing to honor God in the same way I saw it this week in honoring veterans? In our lives, in our society, in our country, what do we do? And sometimes a little disheartened. Sometimes I feel like that old 1970s commercial that some of you may remember. When there was an anti-pollution commercial, and it starts out clean water and flowers, and then it segues into an Indian paddling a canoe in very polluted waters and walking upon a very polluted land. And then the commercial, or the PSA, the public service announcement, ended with the photo that's up on the screen of just that Native American Indian with a tear going down his cheek at what he saw was taking place. Now, obviously, my message today isn't about pollution, per se, but I wonder, at times when God looks down on our country, is he a man of sorrows? Or is he a man of resurrection? I don't know. There's got to be times where I think he's got a tear going down his face. Because sometimes on our roadways, he sees billboards that we see. In the beginning, man created God. For those that don't believe in God, they fight against him. And then there's recent cases, and I just wonder what in the heck is happening to our society. Recently, we had the videos about the Planned Parenthood where they were selling the baby parts. Well, in Houston, they convened a grand jury to look into whether that was legal or not. And believe it or not, they indicted the filmmakers that pointed out the atrocities that were taking place of selling baby parts on the free market. Because they were, quote, I think the word is, they were going soliciting human organs. So they indicted the two filmmakers. And I thought, we've got it all backwards. We've got it flipped on its head. When God looks down at those headlines, what does he think? How precious life is. We're selling and chopping up that life. And then we're going to indict the people that try to bring it to the forefront and say, Christians, what do you think? It's out there. So our society indicts them. Then I could go with headlines. I just grab four or five or six of them. Is God looking down like that American Indian? A federal judge threatened incarceration to a high school valedictorian unless she removed references to Jesus from her graduation speech. A city official prohibited senior citizens from praying over their meals, listening to religious messages, or singing gospel songs at a senior activities center because it received taxpayer money. Bud, is that you? It's Earl. A public school official lifted an elementary school student from his seat and reprimanded in front of his classmates for praying over his lunch. And then, we good to go? Following U.S. Department, they have a policy within the Veterans Administration, a federal government official sought to censor a pastor's prayer, eliminating references to Jesus during a Memorial Day ceremony honoring veterans at a national cemetery. God's got to have a tear coming down his cheek when he sees some of this. But he also gives us wisdom, and he says pray. Because there is light in the darkness. And I turn again to a devotional that was in this book on Billy Graham. And he tells us, go to 1 Timothy. And in his commentary about 1 Timothy, Pastor Graham says, looking around at all the evil that happens today, we may find ourselves wondering if some people must have been born without a conscience. But the Bible teaches that God has placed within every human being some sense of right and wrong. But what do? As Christians, he recommends that we go to our knees in prayer, that we say prayers for them, and that we say prayers for ourselves. How can we be better disciples? How can we be one of the 11 that went out and took his word and spread it to grow the Christian church? And he continues, but he said, most of all,
we need to pray. And in May, we will celebrate a day of prayer, praying especially for our world and its leaders, politicians, trendsetters, media, athletes, and others in position of influence. As you pray this coming May, pray that they may use their influence for good and not for evil. For God is sovereign and is still at work, and He alone is our hope for a better world. And I thought, how does that happen in our life? How do we honor His name in everyday living? Because so many things come at us. And one of the hardest things is probably what we talked about in a prayer, illness, injury, and most of all, death. Especially when it's premature, when it happens when you're not expecting it. And I found a video, hopefully it'll play. It's about 3 minutes. It's not professional, but it's a young lady who sings a song called In the Honor of His Name. And she's been recently notified that her husband was killed during the Civil War. Listen, if you will, to the words of that song. I believe they might serve as a metaphor for us. I think all of us sometimes feel like that widow. With all that's going on around us and all the tragedy and everything that's taking place, sometimes we think, how do we go on? How do we move forward? As I check to make sure.
The back screen isn't showing what the front screens are showing, so I'm a little nervous. As Greg is hustling back. Sorry about our AV problems. But my point with that is, as I listened to that song, I thought it was a metaphor for our relationship with God. That there's times when we, like that widow, feel so alone. But she found the strength. She was going to learn to sow. She was going to learn to plow. And she was going to do it in the honor of His name. She was going to remember the promise of their love in the honor of His name. So I think when everything hits us in society, where every day it seems like our society wants to minimize the role of God, we look for opportunities to honor God and have the strength of that widow that was depicted in that song and its lyrics, because that promise is with us forever. And individually, you can make a difference. The honor flight that I referenced that I went on Tuesday with my father started 10 years ago. It started with one man and one veteran. A dentist or a physician's assistant in Dayton, Ohio. He had a World War II vet as one of his patients. And he came in and he said, "Doc, things aren't going too well. I was just diagnosed with cancer." And the doctor asked him, "Have you put together a bucket list of all the things that you would like to do?" And he said, "Yes, I have." And one of his bucket list items that he recited to the doctor was that he wanted to go to Washington, D.C. and see the World War II memorial that had just been completed. But he had neither the funds nor the ability to get to Washington, D.C. The doctor found that out and on his own decided, as a pilot, he was going to volunteer to him that he would fly him and spend a day with him in Washington, D.C. 10 years ago, one man and one veteran started today what is now more than 200 flights every year of veterans from cities across this country that go to honor the veterans of our country. I'm sure when he made that offer to that veteran, he had no idea it would grow 10 years later to what it is today. But one man saw a need to honor, and he was able to make a difference. Every one of us here this morning walks on different paths. We're on different journeys. Sometimes we cross one another. Sometimes we see each other. We come together on Sunday and we celebrate our faith and we worship and honor the God that we have. But individually, each of us also has that same opportunity of that doctor in Dayton to honor our God and to have the strength that's out there. For it's in His name we honor our God. We want to make sure He can wipe that tear away. But I also recognize it's not going to happen overnight. And this is from a poet back in the 1500s. He said, "Heaven is not reached in a single bound, but we build the ladder by which we rise from the lowly earth to the vaulted skies. And we mount to its summit round by round." As we depart this Sunday morning, it's small steps, it's incremental steps that we can take to take back our society, to put God at the forefront of everything that we do. For He is the one that we honor. Let us pray.